Good evening, my little darklings. This is the Paranormal 60 News News Radio Edition. Our special guest joining us tonight, Dave Foley. That takes place right here on the very best in Paranormal Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and this is my Paranormal 60. Little darklings, thank you so much for joining me tonight live. It is a Wednesday night. It is an amazing night to be alive, and I'm a little amped. I'm not going to lie. I've got some great guys joining me, and Dave Foley, one of my favorite comedians from the Kids in the Hall and News Radio, which I was addicted to, that television show. My grandson is crazy about Flick from Bug's Life. He's all of the above, and he's going to be with us a little bit later on. Believe it or not, he has a UFO story to share, so we're going to talk with him in a bit. But ladies and gentlemen, my right-hand man is sitting in the wings waiting right now. The one, the only, Cha-Ching. Is that what it
is? Cha-Ching.
I know. I just was hitting it before the colonel gets on here and drops his...
Screws it up.
We should have just let him go out, because you and I were laughing backstage as he's like, ah, Cha-Ching, I like that shirt. We're like, that's Cha-Ching. Yeah.
I put the dash in there for him.
Yeah, he doesn't get it. He's Hispanic. He doesn't read dashes.
Oh my.
Upside down exclamation points. He's all over it. He knows those. Okay. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the multilingual, and I know that's hard to believe. The Colonel is here with us.
Multilingual, thank you very much.
Multilingual. I stand corrected, good sir.
That's right, sir.
You know what? We are one man down tonight, and
which one?
Well, sounds like a band. Sounds like a '90s band. One man down. Hold on.
This is what Greg had to say.
And go.
Trader, what's going on? It's Josh. I'm here with Greg. I know he was supposed to be on Paranormal 60 tonight, and he blew you off for this. So that's a shame, and I can only say that I'm sorry.
We had stuff to do.
Yeah. Hope you're well.
That's why Greg's not here?
Yeah, so Greg couldn't be here because he's hanging out with Josh Gates. Now, Josh, I know you're watching because your show is wrapped up, and I know that you never miss an episode. And my question to you is it really a good idea to have Greg blow off his job, mm-hmm. his one hour a week commitment, just to see you? I mean, don't you think if he was truly a professional, Josh Gates, like you, you showed up for your job. Shouldn't he have shown up for his?
Yes, Dave, you are absolutely correct.
Yeah.
That's more like it.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Josh
came
Gates
around.
Knows.
Finally came
he
around.
He knows things.
He's like the Oracle.
All right. The Oracle of Delphi. Yeah. All right. Let's get going, because I've seen some of these stories. We've got a lot of furin stories.
Mm-hmm. Are you drinking straight Fireball this evening?
No, it's Fireball and root beer. I drink like a man.
All right. Fair enough. Well, he's wearing a Jameson shirt, no less, I see.
That's right. Well, I don't have any Jameson, believe it or not. I don't have any of the stuff I like. I'm sneaking into mom's liquor cabinet and drinking
when he's like back in teenage years.
Yes.
Look at back when you're 12, I'm sneaking in mom's cabinet.
But don't forget, you're getting some guests in a couple weeks who are going to replenish the supply.
That's right, baby.
Mm-hmm. Most excellent. We've got a lot to discuss tonight, guys. And I'll let you chat again in a minute, Marty, but this is my time to shine. I don't know if you look up.
I guess it's your show, Dave.
With Dave Schrader.
That's right. Yeah, no just offense. Whatever. Okay.
We've got some interesting stories that I actually want to open up a dialogue on a few of these, because some of them are really... really out there, very weird. One I was going to bring on the show, I didn't end up doing. I was in Missouri. they dug up a nun who died 4 years ago, only to find that her body is uncorrupted. So that means that now she's up for like sainthood, right? They're going to take a look and do the first of all, I got to be honest with you. I glanced at the article, but I followed it up with the follow-up article, which is from an anthropologist explaining how this happens. And they said, you know, it's really not that rare. So kind of pulling Catholic churches around the world are switching us off right now, guys. And I'm sorry for that.
So but, why did they unbury her, by the way?
Well, that's the whole thing. I never got to that part, Marty. Oh. I'm a Paranormal 60 news guy. I don't read the whole story.
Yeah. And if we we don't read it well. So
that's right. Yeah.
Fair enough. So, but I read the follow-up article and they're like, listen, a lot of things can contribute. First of all, of course, if the body is embalmed, which I guess she was not embalmed, but if the weather conditions are right and you have a well-sealed coffin, you go through different decomposition states and mummification is one of them. And if it's sealed and there's no moisture or condensation or things getting in there, you can stay in that uncorrupted state for quite a while. So they said it's really not that surprising. So I read the poo-poo article about it from top to bottom because I was interested to find out what exactly was going on. But one of the weirder pictures was at her gravesite, there is a sign that says, please only take one small cup of dirt. So I guess they're having a lot of parishioners and followers showing up and scooping up dirt to take home with them.
Is that on eBay yet?
Yeah, you should have checked.
Not yet. I was going to put them on right after the show. I'm the reason why I went in there with a couple of buckets and walked away with a whole bunch of it, but interesting stuff. So I didn't cover that one. Cause again, it didn't, you know, it's interesting that she's up for sainthood. I'd need to know deeper stories on her. And really it was kind of all the articles I saw were just kind of glossary. She was a very good nun. She was a very sweet nun, blah, 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 blah. There was not enough in there for me. All
that nun stuff that they kind of
debate with nuns. But I never really kind of got to the why they dug her up. That is weird. I don't know if they're like, you know what? Chachi's been dead 4 years.
Let's go dig him up. Yeah.
Let's check him out. Maybe he's uncorruptible.
Buy a couple bottles of Jameson, go out to the gravesite and dig him up.
I don't like this line of thoughts here.
But wait a minute. We could maybe put you into sainthood, Saint Chachi.
Exactly.
And we could be selling t-shirts, medallions with you on it. Here, baby.
There's some t-shirts.
Now we're talking my language, okay?
That's right. Yeah. So, hey, Kayla, thanks for the love and support.
Yay, Kayla.
Donating $10 to Winnie's Fireball Fund.
Oh, yes.
We appreciate that. So, to me, it's just crazy why we're going to dig up a body. I wonder if there are certain people that they're like, you know, that a nun, she was a pretty good nun. We should have checked on her in about 4 years. That's my Vatican Irish that I'm speaking. And just dig her up for the hell of it. So I don't know. Very interesting.
Interesting. That sounds like something. I'm sorry.
Wow. Nancy Hayes says, I'll Venmo more if you need more.
Wow, Nancy.
Good. Normal 60. Just pour the Fireball Fund. Let's just keep building it up in there. Thank you, Nancy. We appreciate that. For those of you just listening to the audio, if you watch the live video, and even if you don't, if you go over and watch the YouTube, there is always a super chat, super sticker, super likes, super thanks. You can always make a donation to the show, which does go to helping Chachi's wife afford to continue to make shirts for him.
He has a closet full of shirts now.
I think I already found next week's hashtag, Mark Saint Chachi. I love Mark it. I don't care what happens. I like it. And he wrote out Saint, the full word. I like that.
Getting donations from the other side of the planet. Raymond Lancashire, 10 pounds. That's like
that American money.
Good God.
You're like a millionaire, aren't you? Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So why is it are people donating money for her liquor fund thinking this woman needs all the liquor she can get to put up with Dave? Do you think that's what it really comes down to?
I'm thinking so, yeah. A lot of liquor.
You see this part right here? My heart? It's hurting right now.
It's a little black. Dare
people assume that.
Actually, your heart's a little bit more in the center there, Dave, just for information. But
yeah, when did that happen? Remember the heart always used to be over here. That's why we put our hand over here, Marty. Mm-hmm. You're a military fella. We never once said, put your hand here. Your hand was always to go to this side. And we have slipped into another universe, a pocket universe, because this is definitely one of those. Because
heart, as long as I can remember, the heart has always been in the center. So I don't know how the right side thing came about, but that may be a good story.
Chachi, where's the heart? Tell me.
Right here, sir.
Right.
Wow.
So right where I keep you and Dave. I.
That's why I know.
Oh,
that's where I keep.
Yeah. See, it's so that's weird to me. There are little things like that that have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Marty's from this universe, and it makes a lot more sense now if you think about it, Chachi.
Yeah, last I checked, sense. Yeah.
So when did this whole middle of the chest thing come about? It's the first I'm hearing.
I think since that first kinesiology class that, you know, we have to take in college.
Did you guys I can't say that word.
Right.
What'd you call it? Kinesiology? Is that even a word, Marty?
It is. It's the study of the human body.
All of a sudden, Greg's off the show, and Marty just takes it up 32 notches.
I know. Wow. Well, it's just... I get nervous when Greg's around because I always feel pressure, you know, like I need to do better. And
really?
When he's the guy that doesn't read his stories?
Feel no pressure, Marty.
Yeah, thank
no
you.
No pressure.
I don't feel bad messing up in front of you two. It's Greg. That
it's obvious. Let's get to it. This first story is bonkers, right? And I don't know if you guys have heard of this. A man out of time, the Ukrainian time traveler. Now, throughout the last two decades, there have been a lot of strange claims of people stating that they were time travelers, but nothing I've heard even comes close to this story of Sergei Ponomarenko for just the sheer weirdness. Now, I want to stop here and say there are a lot of people that listen to these shows that might be familiar with John Teeter. John Teeter, the time traveler who would call into Coast to Coast AM and talk to Art Bell. And he was supposedly from our future and was talking about how there was kind of a collapse of structure. And he had come back to our time frame to get old computer parts because that's what they were using now. It was a weird, crazy, amazing story that captured the attention of the world. And just as he appeared, so he vanished. Now, there's a lot of people that believe that this was one of Art's ham radio buddies just doing radio theater, if you will, and creating this story. But for a long time, John Teeter captured the attention of the world. This time traveler zero, this guy seemed to have all the information. He even posted information on his time machine, gave specifics of years and dates. He gave a fake name, being John Teeter, to protect his traveling. But interesting, this one to me, this goes above and beyond the call. Check this out. So in one of the most infamous cases of its kind, the story centers around a man who turned up in Kiev, Ukraine, back in 2006. Also good to note, that's the same year I began doing paranormal radio.
Wow.
Do you think that he heard my signals and that's what drew him back in time?
Could be. I think you never know.
Yeah.
Well, he told the authorities, right? Well, let me go back a little bit first because I'm jumping ahead here in the story. So that happened back in 2006. He was lost and wandering the streets. He ends up bumping into a couple of cops and starts telling them he's looking for this specific street address. But the street has not existed in decades. So when the police questioned him, things went full on just Twilight Zone, right? Sergei believed he was slipping through time and claimed to be from years ago in our past. He told the authorities that he was born in 1932. Okay. And he looked the part. He was carrying an old fashioned camera. He was wearing an old outdated outfit. Now, the most compelling thing was that he had a Soviet document from the 1950s with him, which he claimed showed he was the age of 25. The kicker is, the identity card that identified him as a Soviet citizen, even though the communist bloc had dissolved a decade earlier. So everything about this ID pointed to it being legitimate, very real, and from an era that no longer existed here, right? Mm. So Sergei then talked about the people and the pictures that he claimed were taken on his camera when he was in Kiev. Curious, they had the film developed, and that's when things got even weirder. After they'd been developed, authorities found the images did indeed show Kiev in the 1950s. They also showed him with an unnamed woman, as well as an image that he claimed showed a UFO. Let me see if I can get that on here. All right. Yeah. And one of the images on this roll was apparently this blurry photo of a bell-shaped object hovering in the skies over 1950s Kiev. Photographic expert Vadim Pasher couldn't find any irregularities with either of the images or with the camera itself. Naturally enough, a psychologist by the name of Parlo Kutrykov was called to investigate Sergei's story, and he couldn't find any holes in the story. The bizarre story took an even weirder turn when authorities looked back into the records and found a man by the same name who happened to go missing in 1958. Strangely, they then tracked down the man's girlfriend, who by that time was in her late 70s. And it turns out that the girlfriend was the woman in those photographs, guys.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. She then told the authorities that Sergei had disappeared for 2 years and then reappeared in the 50s. Not only that, but she then received a photograph showing him as a much older man, with the picture purported to have been taken in Kiev in the year 2050. Now, Ponomarenko himself disappeared a few days after this bizarre incident. And while there are dozens of photos of the so-called time traveler, and there are copies of the images police found on his camera roll, the man himself, his camera, and the photos have never been seen again. So guys, thoughts? Time slip? UFO interference? Or is this just one of the most clever hoaxes of its time?
How would he have done that?
Right. It's not like now where there's going to be people out there doing things for viral video posts, right?
Right.
This guy has photographs looking like he is in the camera. So he hasn't aged, showing him in Kiev of the 1950s. And it's 2006. They show the woman in the photograph. They're able to identify, find her in her 70s. She can corroborate the story, how this guy went missing. Now, let me give you guys a real mind bomb, right? I've been talking about this for years, like Politi's books, The Missing 911s, right? I've often wondered, are we slipping through the cracks in time? There are people that have been cited that have shown up out of nowhere claiming to be a from the future or from the past, right? And then they vanish as quickly as they appear without a trace. Nobody can identify who the person is in the photographs, video, etc. So these moments when people slip through, we started off the show talking tonight about, well, where is the heart? We were all brought up believing the heart's over here. That's why whenever somebody gets shot and watch TV and movies, they get shot here. They're cooked. They get shot here. Don't worry, it missed the heart.
Well, think about when they have a heart attack in a movie, right? Where do they grab? Not the center. They grab over here.
Yeah. Loki needs another gummy after this.
Good point. Yeah.
Eat up,
Loki. Chig says, I picked the wrong day to stop.
Old school.
That's an airplane remark, if I remember.
There you go.
Lloyd Bridges. But to me, everything about this and the fact that, look, he talks about the UFO. Now, the UFO you see in this photograph also matches the UFO design that Hitler and his cronies were building.
Mm.
So time travel may legitimately be involved in one way, shape, or another.
So
I don't know if we're capable of jumping in our own timelines or if we will end up in alternate places like this universe.
So, Dave, do me a favor. Go back to the picture of his ID, the card. Look at the haircut on that card. That the sideburns and the haircut looks almost like a more modern cut of haircut.
But right? You can see the date right there.
Yeah.
It was 1956. Now, hairstyles, though, Marty, have cycled through.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And in Dave's, the 50s, I think, yeah, mine is a classic.
Good point.
Even in Star Trek, the motion picture, V'ger, mm-hmm. bald character, boom. Right? Future, past, it's all the same. Yul Brynner in Ten Commandments, right?
That was stylish Messiah back
now.
Then, yeah.
Right. It's right. A very good look. Anyway,
right.
That hairstyle. And wasn't Elvis kind of riding the chops in the 50s as
yeah,
well?
He
wasn't
kind
of digging the rockabilly verse?
Good point.
Yeah. It happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Look, so, these gummies are talking to her.
Yeah, yeah, they are. So what do you guys, honestly, if you weighed in on this, hearing the story, and we have a one sheet story. Obviously, it's not that in depth. It's not that detailed, but they gave us the highlights of this. There are more questions than there are answers for a story like this. But what the hell? What do you make of it?
It's one of those things where it's just so much information that is pointing to that being the case. It's hard, but you know, it's like, I don't know, man. It's like, we'll probably never know that until we're dead. Yeah.
And then it's too late.
And then it's too late to come back on the show and tell us what it is. Yeah.
Well, it is with that attitude.
I know.
Exactly. This is a good example of why our pal and friend, what's his name? Greg, paranormal detective.
Greg.
This is where his background and knowledge would have been really helpful tonight. He would have had a lot to say about this. It would have meant nothing.
Right.
It would have meant a lot,
but he would have said so much, Dave.
Exactly. You know what? I'm gonna bring this story back up real quickly because our guest has popped into the green room. I'm gonna bring him up. Excellent. I want some insight on this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited to bring on a guest tonight, one of our favorites from TV, movies, and more. And you can see him at GalaxyCon this year. I'll be there at GalaxyCon coming up in Raleigh, North Carolina, as will our guest Dave Foley. Hello, Mr. Foley.
Hello.
Now, you and I had a chance to meet at GalaxyCon in Richmond, Virginia. We're sitting in the green room, just kind of enjoying watching everybody come and go. And we started talking about this high strangeness. Mm-hmm. And you revealed to me your interest in UFOs. And you're friends with Jeremy Corbell, who has been a guest on my past programs. And George Knapp, of course, mm-hmm. who I'm going to be working with later on this year at the Utah Paranormal Conference. And you were out with Jeremy, and you actually had an encounter.
We did, which was very strange. It was like because I mean I was interested in UFOs and fairly taking it pretty seriously, but I've never seen anything. And Jeremy, as you know, has spent his adult life researching the UFO phenomena and making documentaries about it. But he had also never seen anything. But then I guess it was about a year ago, January. I was hanging out with Jeremy, and it was late at night. We were just, not late at night, but it was nighttime, and we were taking his dog for a walk, and we're sort of walking out amongst these orange groves, and I just said, you know, Jerry, it was a beautiful night, and I was looking at all the commercial air traffic off in the distance on the horizon, and how clear everything was, and thought, you know, and I said, Jeremy, this would be a good night to see something. And just a few minutes later, Jeremy goes, Dave, turn around. And I turned around, and there was this orangey gold glowing object in the distance with this orange sort of light pulsing. And on the front of it were three other lights, three white lights, a larger one in the middle and two smaller ones to the sides. And we watched this thing, and this thing just traveled very silently. And I kept thinking, oh, it's when it gets closer, it'll be something boring. It's going to turn boring any time now. But then we watched as it did this sort of arc along the horizon in this valley. And it kept getting closer and closer and not getting boring. And it came very, very close. It was just a few miles sort of in front of us, it looked like. And the weird thing was that neither of us said anything through all this time, and this is several minutes that this is going on, where it's traveling towards us, and neither of us said anything, except at one point Jeremy actually said, unprompted, he went, I'm not even going to take a picture, which was a weird thing to say, and a weird thing because this is a guy he talks about how he practices his quick draw on his phone all the time,
right,
so that he's prepared if he ever saw anything. And I didn't, and the weird thing is I also didn't respond to that. I didn't say anything to him when he said that. But we both just were very, very calm and quiet. And this thing came from, like I said, it came from about, it was like about 2 o'clock in the sky. And it kind of did an arc along the horizon to about like a 7 o'clock position in the sky, I guess. And then it just hung there in front of us for at least a minute. And then it went down behind the mountains, past a little ways off from us, just a few miles away. And then it was only after it had disappeared that then Jeremy went, dude, that was a UFO. And that was, you know, that was kind of the whole sighting. But the weirdest part of it was that we stayed, that I felt like all of our emotions were being tamped down. Like we, neither one of us had any emotional response to it. No excitement, not even awe. It was just watching it quietly and kind of just observing the details. Hmm.
And there's something about being in that moment, right? Now, I had a slightly different response when I saw the flying craft in the sky over Trout Lake, Washington. I ran towards it, but I never thought to break out my phone to take a photograph of it. And it was because I wouldn't allow my eyes to stop looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
So even as I'm reaching down to the ground to grab up some rocks, because something in my brain is telling me this looks like a bad 1980s music video effect. Mm-hmm. This guy's got a screen between those trees and he's projecting something. Yeah. And I go hauling ass up to it and I'm whipping rocks, listening to hear the and there's nothing.
Hmm.
Yeah. And when I came back and told James Gilliland from the Yosemite Ranch what I saw, he was very calm and very collected about it and explained to me exactly what I saw. But I couldn't stop watching it.
Yeah.
Even for a second, you're afraid if I look down for a second, it's gone, right? So I just wanted to be in that moment. Did you notice, was there any strange missing time, any noise that went along with it, any other affect?
I don't think we had any missing time. It was absolutely silent. There was no sound from it at all. It was just this unnatural calm. I mean, that we both were in this state of, absolute non-reactive.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, do you think that might be because your brain is just trying to decipher what the hell you're seeing? It's like, well, maybe it's a helicopter that has no engine, or maybe it's you're just trying to figure out any possible.
Well, at the beginning, I think that's the case. At the beginning, mm-hmm. But I just kept waiting for it to get close enough to figure out what it was.
Yeah.
But then as it got closer, it was just, I wasn't thinking anything except just watching it. There was literally nothing going on in my head except observing everything, every detail of it.
Any idea how far you thought it was away from you? If you think about like an airplane, hundreds or thousands of feet.
I think it was probably about a few miles away from us, and probably about, I would guess maybe like 500 feet up in the air.
Wow. Have you done any research to see if anybody else witnessed it that night? Was there any reports?
I haven't. All I've done is I've talked about it on Twitter. I think Jeremy checked to see if there were other reports. I don't think he ever heard of any. He also was checking like satellite schedules and any kind of launches that were scheduled. So he's kind of got all that at the ready at his place. So he checked all of that and there was nothing.
How does that impact you now? You start off saying this would be a great night and then.
Well,
that happens.
Well, here's the weird thing: is it's still, even now when I think about it, and I've heard some other people say similar thing about having a sighting, that even now when I think about it, I'm still completely emotionally detached from it, which I think is, to me, is kind of the weirdest part of the whole experience. Is that it felt very much like the thing we were looking at was entirely in control of how we reacted to it. Like neither one of us had our normal, Jeremy, what are the odds that he's going to be quiet for any length of time?
Right.
We were both just dead silent, not talking to each other, not looking at each other, just watching this thing. Jeremy hates, he really hates the whole woo aspect of UFOs. It really puts him off. And so he didn't like the idea that maybe this thing was actually messing with our consciousness as we were watching it. But that's pretty much how I feel about it, that it was in control of our responses.
It's interesting. I'm going to dive to a bonus story I had. I didn't even know if we were going to get to tonight real quickly because you bring
up. Do I have to pay extra for this?
No, we're letting you stay in for free on this one.
Wow.
This is weird, right? Because you're talking about feeling like this thing might have control over you. Again, which sounds like it's way out in the woo factor. But when you do look at people that have encountered Bigfoot, UFOs, things like that, they have this almost numbness to them during and after. And sometimes don't even talk about it with the person they were with for years. And then it just comes up in conversation. And as strange as it may seem that maybe there is technology that could do that, headlines came out earlier this week. Scientists have developed powerful pulses that can induce immediate hibernation in mammals. So, wow. Right. Well, first of all, science, you don't have to spend that much money. It's called a stack of pancakes. That does it to me every time. But scientists have developed new ultrasound technology that can induce immediate hibernation, they say. The system can be aimed at the head and bring on a torpor, which is a state like hibernation, where mammals suppress their metabolism, reduce their body temperature, and slow down other processes. The researchers behind the new system successfully brought it in on mice and rats after pointing the ultrasound pulses at the animals' heads. They suggest that it could work the same in humans, which, when they say that, you know they've already tested it, right? Larry, the janitor, has walked in and they're like,
possibly. Right,
give him a quick little bomb.
It could work in more than these 10 humans that we tried it on.
Now, they suggest that it could work in the humans and might have more important applications. Oh, really? It might. And I like how they take it to, well, it could be really useful for space
flight,
or medicine, or ending an incursion, or stopping a riot, or ending a war very quickly. But this to me is a weird tie-in with your story mentioning can we be influenced, and we know that that infrasound has been used on our enemies and on us in the past.
Yes.
And has bombarded people where they get agitated, have no understanding of why they feel confused, agitated. They sometimes feel like they're pushed to hurt themselves or others, and that is all real technology that exists. But now they could put us to sleep at will by aiming a beam at our head.
That is, and you're talking about not just a sleep, but into a hibernation.
A hibernation
state, which is not something that humans naturally are capable of.
Live in Minnesota.
I don't think mice and rats are capable of it. I don't think mice and rats.
My high school biology class used to put me to hibernation pretty quick.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. But I'm saying as an insomniac, it appeals to me. If I could get one.
But can we just dial it back a little bit, right?
Yeah. Slowing metabolism, reducing body temperature, that's beyond sleepiness.
And here's how short a time span. The scientists found that directing the ultrasound pulses at mice's head for around 10 seconds brought on the same conditions as torpor, with their heart rate slowing, their body temperature cooling, and their metabolism slowing. They also built a special system that was able to measure the body temperature and send more of those pulses if a mouse appeared to be coming back to normal. Without that, however, the mice would wake back up again, returning to normal metabolism and body temperature. There are still a host of dangers, however. Now, there's an understatement. Experiments have shown that it is dangerous to bring animals back from those deep, torpid states, that they might not recover properly. If the mice were in cold environments, or for instance, they did not spontaneously just wake up, and any experiments in humans would be at risk of repeating those same safety issues for people. The work is described in a new paper, Induction of the Torpor-like Hyperthermic and Hypermetabolic State in Rodents by Ultrasound, published in Nature. So this is a legitimate paper, legitimate information that can be found. But yeah, it just shows you where we really are. And if we are in some kind of exchange with a much more superior race, it would seem that maybe there is something coming that we should be a lot more aware of.
Yeah. Well, is that being done by the government or by a private corporation, Dave? I missed that part.
They just refer to it as scientists. That way they don't have to give you a specific answer. Now, if you read the article, I'm sure it specifically tells you who the scientists are that are part of the report, where it came from, and goes much deeper. But news sources don't have time to get all that information, guys. We don't. There's way too much. Yeah, let's just give them the meat and potatoes. We can put humans to sleep now, the world is coming to an end.
That would be it. That seems like that should be a huge story.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Front page.
Even if we don't use it, somebody would use that for crowd control and it'll definitely get trotted out as a non-lethal technique until it kills people.
Brains start blowing up or something.
Yeah, that's disturbing. Yeah.
Very.
But I was gonna say, there's also in terms of consciousness, there's the Global Consciousness Project at Princeton. Right. Have you heard? You've read about that?
Yeah.
But that's something where they found pretty consistent data showing that people just by paying attention to a machine can alter its behavior.
Right.
So our consciousness can affect a machine, outside of our brain. Mm-hmm. So if we're finding that out now at our fairly primitive level, so we got to figure that whoever's piloting these ships is far enough advanced to us that their ability to manipulate consciousness and use it as a tool is probably, you know, it's probably very, very simple for them to both alter consciousness, control consciousness. You know, obviously so many people have had encounters, have what do they call it, like mask memories, or what are they
called? Right.
You know,
right. The veiled memories where they remember something else, and it isn't until hypnosis that they remove that it wasn't mom taking you out for the walk through that long corridor. It was some alien gray, and very strange.
So I think we're taking the nascent steps into really understanding that consciousness might be a force that's outside of our skulls, and that it might be something we can manipulate. So who knows?
Now, Dave, I've as truly a fan, I love listening to autobiographies. I love listening, especially the audiobook version. So it feels like you're sitting there with your buddy listening to him tell you about an amazing life. If I were to listen to Dave Foley's story, almost every one of these celebrities, and I don't choose them because I think, oh, they're going to be crazy. I just, Sammy Hagar, Dolly Parton, Loretta Lynn, you know, strange people from all different walks of life that all have paranormal experiences and are very open about it in their autobiographies. I mean, crazy open about it. If I listened to the Dave Foley autobiography, would I find something there? Would you share about a paranormal experience aside from your UFO?
Well, I just did. I don't know. I don't think I have that many other paranormal experiences. I had a brief ghost. I had a brief sort of ghost experience when I was a kid.
Do you remember how old you were?
I was, I think I was 7 or 8, living in Nova Scotia, and it was just one of these things where I was like in bed and saw a this was back in the early '70s. This was like 71, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we're living in this brand new bungalow out in the outskirts of a town called Antigonish. I saw this. I was lying in bed, and my bedroom door was open, and I saw this girl in the doorway. And she was wearing like puffed shoulders and a bibbed front, and very much, you know, pioneer style dress, which is what everyone was wearing in 1971. So I thought, oh, it's
the Little House on the Prairie fandom was crazy back then.
So I thought it was my sister, and I called her name, and then. After a moment, this thing just sort of glided to the foot of my bed, and this girl smiled at me. I realized it wasn't my sister. She smiled at me and then just disappeared. And I know. And in that same house, my brother had an experience where he came home late at night, and he heard someone playing ping pong in the basement, and thought, that's weird. It's that anyone's still up playing ping pong. And he opened the basement door, and all the lights were off in the basement, and he could still hear ping pong.
That's not that's messed up.
Do you know anything about
nothing terrifying?
Oh. Yeah, so that's that house seemed to be a little haunted.
Do you know anything about the history of the house, Dave?
It was a brand new bungalow. No one had ever lived in it before us. Yeah.
See, I've heard
so
that.
The owners told you. Yeah.
Yeah. As they
said. I've heard that a few times where people have moved into brand new houses just built, but then again, you don't know what it's built on. You know.
Yeah. What was there before?
Right. Know?
Poltergeist.
Canadian Pioneer Village, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, again, I mentioned you're going to be out. Let me put it up there. Dave's going to be out at GalaxyCon in Raleigh, July 27th through the 30th. So if you're near Raleigh, North Carolina, come on out and see us. We'll both be out there visiting. Tickets 20% off. You can use their code. I think it's GalaxyCon20 to get the discount. So make sure you take advantage of that. They've got a lot of amazing celebrities that are going to be out there for that. So come on out. But Dave, I noticed something on one of your social media feeds about a podcast you're working on. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I actually started. We started doing some test episodes for a friend of mine, Tom Wheeler, who's a novelist and showrunner and does screenwriter. He and I are looking into planning to launch a UFO podcast.
Oh, cool.
Sometime soon. So we've done like 6 episodes right now, and we actually had Jeremy on, had Leslie Kane on, and Ralph Blumenthal was on one.
Oh, great.
Yep. And Paul Hynek came on.
Allen Hynek's son from the Project Blue Book. So if listeners are not familiar. Now, is this something people can find, or are these just your little test templates that you're keeping yourself?
Done, we've done these 3-6, and then we're working with the production company, and they're putting editing them all together now, and then we're going to sort of platform them somewhere. We're not sure where yet.
Great. Well, when they're ready to launch, will you come on with us, let us know, and we'll make sure to promote it for you?
I will, and it's going to be called Really, with the punctuation question mark, exclamation mark, period, which to me sort of delineates the progression you go through when you engage with UFOs. Is the first thing is you curious, startled, and then you just sort of accept, okay, I guess it's real. You accept that there is a UFO reality. Not that anyone I think knows what that reality is, but you get to the point where you just go, okay, I just have to, from here on, I just have to go on the basis, this is real, and we'll try to figure something out.
Great. Well, I look forward to seeing you. Are you at any of the other Galaxy Cons? I know that you did Richmond and Raleigh. Are you coming up in Austin by any chance?
I don't think so. I don't think I'm booked in Austin. I should talk to my agent. I should talk to somebody.
Pay more attention. That's where all these guys live. All of our correspondents are in the Austin, Texas area.
Oh, you're in Austin? Oh, I love Austin.
Come on down. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. Austin's definitely a great city. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, thank you very much.
Friend of mine, I don't know if you heard of him, Joe Rogan. I think he lives there now.
He's got a small podcast, I think, right?
Yeah, just
a couple followers.
If he needs a little help and wants some promotion, he can pop on the show, too. We're happy to give a struggling actor a chance. You know how it is.
Kind of you.
Dave Foley, thank you so much for being on here with us and doing this. I appreciate it more than you'll know.
Well, thanks for having me. Sorry about all the technical difficulties earlier.
No problem. You came through like a champ. Thank you very much. And folks, keep tuned with us. As soon as we know that his podcast Really is up and available, we will make sure that we send out links. So if you are part of our newsletter crew, we will make sure it's in there as well. Dave Foley, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks, Dave.
Nice to see you.
Bye-bye. What a great guy.
Yeah.
Nice guy. Yeah. Very cool. Paranormal Pixie likes it. Everybody else is into it. Kids in the Hall. How cool is that, right? Just my mind's blown at these events, and I have to apologize. It's like 900 degrees in here. I'm picking up for Greg today. Yeah. For some reason, my studio tonight is like 900 degrees, and I have not stopped horse sweating in church right now. It's been bonkers. Crazy, but I'm glad. Maybe I'm just so filled with excitement to have Dave Foley on the show.
That could be great.
But we had a chance to meet out at the conference, and you get to sit there and just kind of shoot the breeze with these guys. All very natural, very nice guys. And as you saw, I mean, he is such a grounded, down to earth guy. And then when he starts telling me about his interest in UFOs, mind blown, right?
I'm like,
I got it. This guy has got to be my new best friend. So don't be sad if I dump all of you and just start hanging out with Dave.
No problem, man. We understand.
Yeah. Greg's done it with Josh Gates. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Don't worry, Chachi. I could never, ever, ever leave you.
Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. What's the first thing that you'd do if, say, you had an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run? Maybe take a nap, read a book, or just show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. And the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you're like me, you think, I can get through a lot. And we can. We're a resilient species. However, there are times that we need to reach out that hand and get a little help from somewhere else. That's what I did with BetterHelp. When I reached that limit and I realized things were getting a little bit out of control, instead of taking it out on my family or taking it out on myself, I just decided to reach out and get the help that I deserve. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy, my darklings. Get BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/P60. Do that today. You're going to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/P60. It's time to take control of your life.
Dave's here rooting you on, and if I can do this, you can do this. Let's do this together. BetterHelp.com/P60. There's a link for it on today's program guide.
For those of you in the Minnesota area, let me remind you, this Saturday, June 3rd, at the Shoreview Community Center Enchanted Expo, with a twist of curiosity is taking place. I'll be there. I'll be having a good time, and I hope you'll come out there. The legendary Echo Bodine is on hand. Diet Renee will be on hand as well. And then later on this year, I'll be at the Battleship USS North Carolina. And you can get information and tickets on sale right now at darknessevents.com. Then the pop-up Paracon, the Midwest Paranormal Conference, taking place Saturday, July the 8th from 10 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the Woodstock Opera House in Woodstock, Illinois. You can check out my website again, darknessevents.com, for updates on that. And another one I'm excited to get out to is the Celebrity Old Saloon Ghost Hunt and Paracon, taking place at the Baraboo Inn, the Old Baraboo Inn, Saturday, June 24th in Wisconsin. I will be there, as well as psychic medium Scotty Rorick, and some other great guests will be on hand. So I hope that you'll get a chance to come out and spend some time. I think Nick Simmons and Aaron G. Thompson from 28 Days Haunted are going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I would love the opportunity for you to come on out, get a hug, get an autograph. Let's hang out. It's going to be a blast. All right. We've got much more to talk about, and we'll do that right after this.
Haunted Magazine is a publication dedicated to all things paranormal and spooky. Each issue features articles, interviews, and stories about ghosts, hauntings, and other unexplained phenomena. The magazine also covers topics such as cryptozoology, UFOs, and other aspects of the supernatural. Expect to find in-depth investigations of haunted locations, first-hand accounts of ghostly encounters, and reports of paranormal events and attractions. The magazine also includes features on the latest ghost hunting technology and techniques, as well as tips for those looking to search the supernatural on their own. Issue 37, The Frights of Spring, will be in stores from March 6th. So remember, don't be normal, be paranormal, and order your copy today.
Are you looking to purchase a new home but not sure where to start? That's completely normal, because there's thousands of questions that need answers when it comes to a new home purchase. Like, how much do I need to put down? What are the rates? What are the closing costs? What does my credit score need to be? That's where I come in. My name is Winnie Schrader, and I'm a mortgage banker here at Paramount Residential Mortgage Group, also known as PRMG. And I'd be happy to answer any of those questions and help walk you through the mortgage process, because buying a home is a stressful yet exciting time. And I can make it easy for you if you mortgage with me at PRMG. My number is 763-203-9641, or you can email me at wschrader@prmg.net. I'd be happy to work with you and answer any questions you have and just get you to that closing table, so that way you can turn that key and walk into your new home. Thank you so much.
All right, we are back. I don't know that I like how this is lined up. What is going on here? How am I in the third position? I don't. There we go. That feels better.
Chachi. There we go.
Wow.
Wow. He just takes command. Doesn't he? Takes over.
Somebody puts Chachi in the corner. Oh, Dave Foley, everybody, huh?
That was awesome.
Great guy. Yeah. And I just, you know, just hit him up. I'm like, hey, I'd love to have you on, talk about your UFO sighting. And then we kept him for 35 minutes. So, you know, we are 52 minutes into the episode.
Wow.
We have done 1.5 news stories.
Uh-huh. Ooh. And I'm drinking about half a glass of Jameson, or half a bottle of Jameson, and I haven't even read a story yet. So that's not a good sign.
Let's fix that, Marty. It is time for you to shine.
Here we go.
Yeah. This is
not a good setup here.
No, I have faith in you. Go for it, buddy. Where are we going?
Well, conspiracy theorists warned of a false flag alien invasion just before his death. Dr. Rashid Buttar, one of the leading figures of the so-called disinformation dozen, made a shocking claim in his final live stream before he passed away on Saturday, May the 20th. Bitar had been spotted a few days before his death, claiming he was poisoned, but did not seek hospital care for his condition. The 57-year-old ended up dying suddenly in his home, with his last message being a warning of an upcoming false flag alien invasion. Staying true to his ways to the bitter end, Bitar shared a live stream just days before his death. There will be some type of event and an introduction where there's talk of life outside the planet Earth, and we will be propagated and propelled with all this information that is not true about how this is an invasion. He went on to rant about how nobody would be...
Wow! Judgy much? That's not even part of the story, Marty.
It is! It is!
It is not! I'm reading it.
He went on a rant about how nobody would have believed the COVID pandemic would have happened, repeating his claim that it was a mass murder and adding, these are very sane thoughts. All right. And
you do have a different copy of the story than I do, because that's not in there.
Really?
Well, crazy.
I rewrote it. Yeah.
Oh,
I rewrote it after I found it. Yeah. And after I sent you the copy I was going to read, I said, nah, let's just go ahead and rewrite this whole thing.
Let's put this story out there and then throw in that the guy is an anti-vaxxer just to trip up half of the audience.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. So you're kind of the disinformation guy.
Well, yeah.
He is the colonel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to throw that out there. Yeah.
Wow, military man.
Yeah, huh. In the video, Bitar can be seen looking weak and tired as he declares, I think there's going to be a false flag event. Actually, Chachi said that the other day. We were drinking in a bar, and he said, you know, I think there's going to be a false flag event. And
I did say that.
Yeah. There will be some type of an event and an introduction where there's talk of a life outside of planet Earth, he continued. And we will be propagated and propelled with all of this information that is not true about how this is an invasion. Dave, there's no further information on what prompted him to believe this. So we will just have to keep an eye to the skies and an even closer one to the news, preferably the Paranormal 60 news. Thank you.
Here's my thought. Yeah, now that you've brought up the fact that it's... you know, he's an anti-vaxxer. I'm not putting him down, but he definitely is into the conspiracy angles of different things. If he is dying, the brain does go through a lot of changes and can make somebody believe things even more aggressively. I know when my mom was passing and we were in the hospice, and I'm not laughing that she was passing, but my mom loved shows like, you know, the true crime shows on ID and everything. And so we had that on in the background, and they came in, they're like, we have to ask you to turn that off. We're like, why? And they go, well, patients in this environment, sometimes as they're listening to this, they can't differentiate between reality and TV. Oh. And they think we're trying to kill them, and they start screaming and freaking out. So we're like, no problem. Mom likes the Animal Planet. So we changed it. And the first thing on is there's a parasite in my body. And my dad and I looked at each other and just started laughing. We're like, let's just turn the TV off.
Yeah,
right? Nothing.
Put on some cartoons.
Nothing going to win on this. All right, Chach, believe it or not, an hour in, almost exactly, you get a chance to talk. Yeah, how's this going to work? You've been drinking steady through the whole show. What have we got?
You noticed, eh?
Yeah, oh, I've been watching.
During the break, I ran and got a new bottle. So,
cha-ching, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Listen, he'd rather have a bottle in front of me than to have a frontal lobotomy.
That's there you go.
That's good. Yeah. Are we going to get through all the stories, Dave? Because the second story I have is really my preferred story of the evening.
No, we're going to get through them all.
Okay,
we've got to cover this. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if
important stuff.
The show, I mean, the Paranormal 60 on Newsnight has tended to go over, and we only have after this, I think, three more short stories. So
okay. There
we
go. Well, now,
all right.
Let's think back to last week.
Got to know.
Last week, first story of the night. First time ever, Chachi had no mistakes. I got a lot to live up to.
Why would you set that? Dude, that's like saying, man, I've never gotten a ticket. Why would you say something like that? Because you know
Did
now.
I just do it?
All right, take a deep breath, buddy. Hey, look at me. Look at me, Chachi. Look, come here.
Eyes.
Oh, look at me.
Just you and I. Okay.
Just look at me right now.
Yep.
There's no Greg. There is no Colonel. It's you and me, buddy. Nobody else is listening. I have faith in you. You're my little super trooper. You've got it. Go ahead.
There's no try, just do.
Thank you, Yoda.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Aliens are
Oh, no, no. Not,
aliens are mutilating. No, aliens are mutilating. Son of a biscuit. Aliens
That's
are
the headline.
I know, I know. I tried.
Jesus.
Aliens are mutilating sheep in Wales. No,
they're not. They're mutilating. Not mutilating. What did you say? How did you say it? I can't even make. I can't even pretend to screw it up like you did.
They're mating with whales.
No, no.
Next week.
Let me help you. Headlines. Aliens are mutilating sheep in Wales, according to Eyewitness. You do the rest.
How are sheep inside of whales, though?
They're not. I think it's the country of Wales.
So this might be the false flag I was warning about, guys. Are you ready?
Okay. I think it was.
Yep. All right. Helena Wirth, a self-described amateur scientist, became upset.
Wait a minute. There's amateur astronomists because you can look through a telescope and see things. Mm-hmm. There are amateur chefs,
amateur
right?
doctors.
No, there are amateurs. No. Oh. But how are you? Let's all have a drink to that.
How are you, an amateur scientist?
Amateur scientist. I don't know if that's a moniker. I don't know.
Can you just like wake up one day and say, you know what? I'm a scientist today. And
well, it's in quotes. So I think that makes it okay.
Oh.
It's an amateur scientist.
Okay.
She became obsessed with aliens after she claimed to have spotted one flying over her home several years ago. The 41-year-old youngster who works for Sarega de Gion County Council. Listen, I wasn't even going to try that one, Dave. You saw how it reads.
Sarega de Gion
County Council has now claimed that extraterrestrial life is responsible for recent mutilations of sheep close to her home. The cause of the sheep deaths in the Cambrian Mountains, which often sees multiple carcasses spread miles apart. Oh, I thought that was a picture of me on the screen. I was freaking out. I'm sorry. I really did think that was a picture of me. It's previously been attributed to big cats, but Helena claims that UFOs are more likely the explanation. She said, with cattle and sheep mutilations, it's always very precise cut marks or something an animal couldn't do. And there are often aren't any footprints up to the animal. So there's no evidence humans are responsible, so maybe it could have come from above. Earlier this year, the local farmer, because there is one in Wales, his name is Jonathan Davies, he reported the killing of his sheep to the local law enforcement. He said, two of my sheep were skinned. There was no actual body left, just the skin. It was so tidy, it was like someone had been there with a knife and skinned them. I'd never seen anything like it before. Only the head was left. Reports of the latest incident is what has prompted Helena to come forward, as she claimed the big clat. No, there's not an L in cat.
Ow.
The big cat theory wasn't plausible.
Word, though. I actually put my drink down on that one.
Listen, three letters. Who gets those right?
Exactly.
She added a cat would have left in a mess, which is why I and others believe a UFO could be to blame for this sheep mutilations in the country of Wales.
Sheep?
She claimed that previous sightings of UAP orbs close to the attacks added weight behind her theory. There is something in Wales, the country, called the Sheep Mutilation Corridor. I think it runs from the north to the south.
It's gotta be hard to sell a house if you got one in that area, right?
Corridor?
Yeah, it's the sheep mutilation corridor. Yeah,
it's an area in Wales where these have all occurred, believe it or not. We think UFOs are responsible, as they have been seen about the time and in the areas these mutilations have happened, both in Wales, the country, and in America. That's enough.
Interesting. The sheep does not seem to buy this story at all.
She's like, yeah, or whatever.
I was wondering if Eric was going to look up and think that was him as well.
I swear to God, I looked up and I'm like, I thought my eyes were all fuzzy. I'd had too much to drink. Listen, I just want to get to my last story of the night. Do I have the last story of the night, Dave?
I think I might.
No, you do. You do, Chach. Because I pulled my bonus story up to talk about with Dave Foley.
Okay.
Could you see this? Look at how much I'm just. It's like,
what is going on here, Dave?
It's like, and hey, by the way, I want to recant my statement earlier about whores sweating in church. I don't know that to be true. So I apologize to all whores.
Okay. About that. Shouldn't you apologize to the church? Or to sweat?
They need to turn their air on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm letting that one go.
I got nothing. All right.
I'm letting that one go.
The NASA UFO panel that just took place
today,
things seem to be kind of inconclusive at this point. Uh-huh. The first public meeting of a NASA panel studying what the government calls unidentified aerial phenomena, commonly known as UFOs or UAPs, kicked off today to discuss findings since its formation last year. The 16-member body assembling experts from fields ranging from physics to astrobiology was formed late last June to examine unclassified UFO sightings, which it refers to as UAPs, and other data collected from civilian, government, and commercial sectors. If I were to summarize in one line what I feel we've learned, it's that we need higher quality data, said panel chair David Spergel during opening remarks. NASA said the focus of Wednesday's four-hour public session at the agency's headquarters in Washington was to hold final deliberations before the team publishes a report, which Spergel said was planned for release by late July. The team has several months to work ahead of them, said Dan Evans, a senior research official at NASA's science unit, adding that panel members had been subjected to online abuse and harassment since they began their work. The panel represents the first such inquiry ever conducted under the auspices of the U.S. Space Agency for a subject the government once consigned to the exclusive and secretive purview of military and national security officials only. The NASA study is separate from a newly formalized Pentagon-based investigation of unidentified aerial phenomena documented in recent years by military aviators, then analyzed by U.S. defense and intelligence officials. Panel officials on Wednesday, having relied on unclassified data sensors, indicated that they have run into much of the same obstacles as their Pentagon counterparts in studying UFOs. The current data collection efforts about UAPs are unsystematic and very fragmented across various agencies, often using instruments uncalibrated for such scientific data collection, Spergel said. The parallel NASA and Pentagon efforts, both undertaken with some semblance of public scrutiny, highlighting a turning point for the government after decades spent deflecting, debunking, and discrediting sightings of unidentified flying objects, long associated with notions of flying saucers and aliens that date back to the 1940s. While NASA's science mission was seen by some as promising a more open-minded approach to the topic, the U.S. Space Agency made it known from the start that it was not leaping to any conclusions. There is no evidence. UAPs are extraterrestrial in origin. That's what NASA said in announcing the panel's formation last June. And as of now, they appear to be sticking to that belief, guys. So really, it's been a year.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is we're not any further. We have till July. So they're like my kids prepping for the big paper that's due at the end of the year. They're going to wait till about June 15th, and then they're going to beg for an extension, right? And be like, Dad, can you call in and just tell the teacher I've been sick, and can I get an extension?
So you said it's been a year, Dave. Okay, so this is my question here.
Okay.
UFO, UAP, can NASA decide what they're going to go with? But did they get, like, mugs and T-shirts in the gift shop that says UFO that they need to sell out before they start switching over to the...
That's a great point, Marty. Very good point. Well, UAP is kind of the governmental agency's version because it's, you know, hey, nobody's buying in on that UFO stuff besides investigating UAPs. Yeah. Get on with UAP. Yeah, you know me. Yep. Holy crap. Why did Dave Foley... Sorry, this is the random thoughts that happened to me at night while I'm sleeping.
Right.
He needs to rethink his approach to his series, really, his paranormal UFO sightings type of podcast he's going to do. And he should be only introduced this way forward as Dave UFO-ly.
Wow.
Dave
took me a second to get that. That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
Marketing. The brain.
Drugs. Hats.
Drugs. No, not drugs.
Sweat.
What?
Sweat.
Yes, sweat. I am just, it is like unbelievable. I went and checked the heat in here. I kid you not. In Minnesota, guys, this is unprecedented. It is 78 degrees in this room.
What the hell?
What's it outside? Are in the 90s?
No, it was like 88 today. I'm just, I'm dying. I'm not. I cannot tolerate heat. I do. Yeah. I do not do well. Well, I will try. Like
that's like so the out of doors like, for you indoors.
Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable. The out of doors has come in of doors, and it's baking me slowly. I'm like in a pressure cooker.
That's right.
That explains
you gotta the loosen the top.
It smells like a mix of bacon grease and Big Mac sauce in my room right now because of my sweat. Mm. All right, we've got two stories left. Martika.
Yes, sir. Yes,
where are we
sir.
Going well, with your story, buddy?
I'm taking a little bit of a turn on this one. I'm mm-hmm. going away from the UFO or UAP story.
And nobody got time for that, Marty.
That was just rambling. What was that all about?
Yeah, what the hell? I'm not going to do those stories anymore. Ooh, look at me. I've got a better story.
We're a news show. Way. We do stories.
Yeah, whatever the story is, Marty.
All right,
maybe it's a good How's one. That? Let's bring them back. All right. Okay, Marty. What have you got? Marty's still talking in the background. He knows he's not on screen. Yeah. He's still talking. And then he's like, how's that?
Yeah.
All right, Marty, you're up. Go.
Okay. Exorcists may be accidentally helping the devil, a top pastor has warned. Exorcists may be accidentally helping the devil, a pastor has warned.
He's a pastor? Like,
yeah, pastor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Captain Repetitive Azera. Yeah. But I'm curious, though, has an exorcist maybe mentioned that that they may be helping the devil because of a top pastor warning them of that?
Yeah, I think they're all up in arms right now because this guy that's out of somewhere in Nebraska. Yeah.
Yeah, let's just go back to the story.
Yeah, let's go back to that story. Dan Delzel, excuse me, said that real-life demon bashers may think they are driving out evil, but they could actually be a useful weapon in Satan's arsenal.
Huh.
Yeah, he said priests who perform rituals to exorcise.
Chachi, he said arsenal, not the other word. You think? Okay,
I was going to ask him.
No.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to. No. Yeah, thank you for doing that, Dave. Because I was going
to. I'm here
about to
help.
To do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He feels that they are spreading doctrines of demons by taking on Satan in good versus evil battles. Exorcists may be inadvertently boosting the Antichrist influence. There are currently 400 registered exorcists in the world. That's kind of high. I thought it wouldn't be that much.
Do you have to be Catholic to be an exorcist?
I don't think so.
Yes, to be an exorcist. I think they call them deliverance ministers in other religions.
Oh.
Things like that. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In Italy, alone has 240. They struggle to deal with the 500,000 requests a year.
Wow. There are 500,000 requests for 500,000 exorcisms in Italy?
Yes, sir.
In Italy?
Yeah.
In one country?
Wow.
Well, I don't know if it's just in one country, but they just said that, 500 requests. There you go.
Yeah.
500?
Mm. Yeah. 500,000, sir.
No. And to help you with your own story, Marty, you said, I don't know if it's in one country. According to what you said, in Italy, which alone boasts 240.
Yeah, them. Yeah, those guys over there.
If we're going to go back to the actual information you've shared.
I wrote the story, and, it's one of those things I'm assuming everyone knows what I'm saying, but that's not the case all the time. Delzel of Redeemer
Ain't nobody Lutheran know what your lips are saying.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Redeemer Lutheran Church in Papillion, Nebraska, where I lived at one time.
In where?
Papillion.
Papillion, you say? Is it not Papillion?
Nope, it's Papillion. I live there. I should know. Yeah.
That doesn't mean much.
Wow. I like his thought track there.
Yeah. I've lived there. Yeah, I'm probably right.
Yeah,
it's the French papillon meaning butterfly, but okay.
We used to call it papillion. At least the Nebraskans do. I don't know. They said their seemingly good deeds won't necessarily work as many may not be up to the task or fully believe in the rites that they are performing. I wouldn't be surprised that the devil is unfazed by some of the exorcisms that take place. As much as Satan wants demons to possess as many people as possible, the devil's higher priority is to maliciously and cleverly usher an even larger number of people to hell, Dave.
Mm-hmm. If exorcisms, he's dressed for it.
He looks like he's wanting to go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If exorcisms are performed by someone who is also spreading doctrines of demons, then Satan may be seeing it as a net gain. The exorcisms create the illusion that everything the exorcist believes and teaches must be true, but that is not always the case. Attempting to cast out demons without Jesus living on the inside of you is a very dangerous undertaking. Father Carlos.
Wait, quick question. Can I charge rent if Jesus is living inside me?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Would I be considered a church? Tax deduction.
Tax, yes. Yeah, so you're not getting paid.
Jesus is within me.
I'm a church. Yeah. Walking church. Well,
The Lord is in me, son. I think it
depends on the state you're living in. So
it depends.
State of fireball.
Yep. There you go. So Father Carlos Martins, who is regarded as one of the Catholic Church's leading exorcists, claims demons are very real, and because they naturally live outside space and time, they have access to knowledge that the people that they possess could never have.
That's how we know the Colonel is safe here. He's not a demon.
I'm not a demon.
With access to knowledge other people do not have, we don't have to worry about that. Papillion, Nebraska. Papillion. I don't know if that's really how you say it. Papillion.
Papillion.
Papillon. Yeah. Papillon. Le papillon. The butterfly.
I mean, I was just saying it like all the other Nebraskans were, so maybe I was saying it wrong.
Well, that sounds racist the way you say it.
Yeah, those Nebraskans. Right,
the final story is here. Chachi, this is how many weeks in a row you're able to bring us musicians and the paranormal.
Chachi, he just brings it every week, doesn't
every
he?
Every week. The guy, he's taking amazing. A drink. That means he's, the name is Kesha. Let me just help you with that. Thank you. Yeah, okay.
How'd you know that's what I was struggling about? No, listen.
Okay.
I think anybody that knows me knows I am Kesha's number one fan. I have traveled the world to see her shows. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
She is my true North Star.
Uh huh.
And for those of you that remember back a couple months, probably 40, 50 episodes ago, I actually did a story about Kesha where she talked about her encounter with a ghost, one that was of a sexual nature. Today I learned she admitted she may have exaggerated her sexual account with said ghost.
What? Dave, not Kesha.
If we can't trust Kesha, who the can we trust, Dave?
Oh yeah.
Did you have Good to read point. That line? You couldn't commit that line to memory. No, if we can't trust Kesha, who can Listen, we trust?
I'm a news anchor, Dave. I read what's on the page. Exactly. Dave needs a handkerchief or something. Oh, poor
guy. That won't even help. Look,
bottom line was my world. Oh, my God. If you're not watching video tonight, you're missing it. All right, Dave. That is.
Is this better?
Yeah. Listen.
It's just. Wow. I'm going to be. All the words are going to be stuck on my forehead if I keep that up. All right, go on. It's brutal in here. Brutal. I hope you people understand what I'm going through for you.
This story is brutal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My world was rocked when I read this story today.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I can see why.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Chach, go.
First off, that beautiful woman in front of us right there. She's 36 years old. Okay.
What the Schmitz? How did that happen?
During a 2012 appearance on Conan. She talked about going to the bone zone with a spirit.
Now I know why it's your favorite story. You get to say bone zone.
I just read the words, Dave.
You do.
But now she said that she wasn't actually in the bone zone, but rather she was simply poked by the ghost.
Poked. I think the word is poltergeist. Poked by the poltergeist. Read the words on the paper, damn it.
I don't always read everything on. I'm a journalist, Dave.
That's obvious.
Sometimes I go off script. So, Dave, you've got a number of children, right? What is the difference between the bone zone and just being poked by someone? Said poltergeist.
Well, I think if you read the rest of the article.
Oh, I'm going to find out?
You should really.
Before Greg went to hang out with Josh Gates tonight, he said, listen, do me a favor. Don't read your stories.
Yeah. It works really well when you don't. And
took
his advice.
All right. Well, listen, Kesha told the Daily Telegraph, I may have exaggerated a bit.
Look who popped up on the screen. Greg Lawson says, yo, everyone.
Oh, please tell me that. Good timing. Is that the real Greg Lawson?
I think so.
It is. Yeah.
Oh, Greg, this story is for you, buddy.
Yep. Okay. So let me get this straight. She said originally she went to the bone zone with a ghost. Now she's retracting that, saying it wasn't so much the bone zone as she got poked by a poltergeist.
Correct.
Okay, go on.
Mm-hmm.
She was on Conan.
I was taking a sip.
She told the story. Yeah. And now she's recanting. What is she
saying? She's now saying, I may have exaggerated a bit.
Mm.
Oh.
Kesha shared the tamer version about her ghost encounter recently. She said she was in Fort Worth, Texas, and I had something wake me up while I was in bed with my boyfriend at the time, who she doesn't name. And it was just a simple touch down the body. Now, could it have been the boyfriend? Sure. But she goes on to say, I woke up and looked at the end of the bed, and there was an apparition of a woman. So, full disclosure, I never actually slept with a ghost, but she did wake me up in a very sensual, paranormal detective kind of way.
Really?
Disappointing dalliances aside.
Yes. Wow. That was very poetic of you.
As a journalist, I practice. Kesha insists. She insists. She still does believe in aliens.
Good.
At 24, this beautiful woman here, she said she saw little balls of fire. No comments on that one? Okay, I'll continue.
Fire. Well, I've been drinking them all night, little balls of fire.
Yeah.
In the sky, she thought may have been UFOs, UAPs, AEPs. And during the pandemic, she launched a podcast talking to people who had experienced paranormal activity, including celebrity medium Tyler Henry. Kesha added, he told me things about my family lineage that nobody knew. She also said about her ghost hunting TV show, which was called Conjuring Kesha. I mean, I saw my cameraman get scratched. That was mind-boggling. That's when I knew this was real. Oh, my Lord.
Wow. Yeah.
What is, there's a mummy on my screen.
Yeah. I think I think it's working, though. I mean, I think you don't look
I don't
sweaty.
See any drips of sweat.
Yeah. As you were before. So
this is is my Kesha look, too. Did you notice?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Very nice. Very nice.
Is that what you're going as Halloween as Kesha now?
Yeah, really.
I'm going as the unboned Kesha. Wow. So
wait a minute. Hold on. Let me write that down. Unboned Kesha? That might hashtag unboned Kesha.
That's a t-shirt.
Right. That might get her on the show, Dave.
Yeah.
I've tried it before. She'll have none of it. Dave Foley will be here because he's a pro.
I loved him.
Greg Lawson, whenever it's good for him, I guess.
Yeah. Whenever it's right, I guess.
So instead of like just typing in comments, he could have logged in and read a story, right? Got like part.
Well, he would have had as much time to get ready for it as he usually does.
I know.
Balls on fire, Loki. Loki's thrown in $9.99. Thank you, Loki.
Balls on.
Yay, Loki. Yeah.
Balls on fire.
Don't resuscitate. Get the paddles.
Bree is dead. Uh-oh.
All right.
Sorry.
So, guys, okay, so let's talk about this. First of all, interesting night. Dave Foley, UFO and ghost story. We milked him for the bifecta.
Oh, yeah.
We milked him for the bifecta.
We did not milk Dave Foley.
For the bifecta.
For the bifecta we did.
And ghost. And Kesha admits.
No bones. Getting
a bit of her story. Now, as a paranormal TV and podcast host, do you think that'll play any against her? I doubt it.
You start retracting stories like that, Dave. It has to. Okay.
It won't. It won't. She's Kesha.
Did she get a second season?
Probably not.
I don't think she did. You got to be.
Maybe that's why she's just like, no, I'll just throw everything at the wall. It's all.
Yeah.
Yes, I didn't do it. Wait till you guys find out when I'm no longer wanted, all the truth that's coming out of me.
Ooh.
I will tell you what hashtag chachiing really means.
Yeah.
First off, there's never going to be a day you're not wanted. Let's be clear. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. If it set up above here what the name of the show was, we would all know. This is your show, Dave.
Exactly, Dave.
We're here to make you laugh.
Yeah.
And you do. You guys do weekly. I got to learn which way to look because I just did the, and I think I'm going to
the, you are.
This is great. So we've got time travelers. That story still sticks with me.
That one
I think
freaks
is one of
me
the
out.
Coolest stories.
Yeah. Right.
But you know what? Something happens, and we haven't heard from this guy in a while. Something happens sometimes when a story is released, and I got to say, out of all the stories, probably the most disappointing one. Marty, which one do you think was the most disappointed?
Today?
Yeah.
Today?
You're gonna back in episode 2 we did a year ago.
Yeah. Short-term
memory
really
loss is brutal.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But out of all the stories today, how about Kesha?
That was, yeah. That was, I didn't want to say it because it wasn't my story. You know, I kind of feel bad about, you know, saying things bad about.
But Chachi's just, Chachi's did a lot of research on that story. But even when it's news people don't want to know, that's okay. You can keep talking.
I'll
wait.
Yeah. No.
So,
Marty. Oh, yeah, that's right. Dave Schrader. Yeah.
Yeah, there I am. So here's
my story. I love it. This has
been a while. Just you and I.
Okay.
Kesha, probably the most disappointing story of the night. Would you agree?
I would, sadly.
You know who else does?
Dumbest news of the day.
I haven't seen him for so long.
I know. It's been a while.
The news. And, you know, or maybe he's just so mind-numbingly stumped at the end of every episode. He's like, these morons, I can't tell you what is the worst story of the day.
He has his head in his lap crying.
I have saved. I should have put them on. I don't know if I can get them on here. I love the fact I get so much love mail, to be honest with you. I get so much love mail.
Hey, now that Greg's here, read shows. Some emails. He loves emails.
No, but I get all these love mails. But on one of the, I'm not going to say which one, but on one of the platforms, there's been a lot of hate coming our way lately for the news episodes. Drunken sloths, idiots, morons.
That's why Greg's not on the show.
There's like four of them.
Yep.
But then there's 348 positive reviews.
Can't make everybody happy.
No, that's what, 10%. 10% unhappy. I'll take that.
25% of the show didn't show up tonight.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So. 75% of the women I've been married to, very unsatisfied. So it's natural.
Wow. 25% very satisfied, though.
Yeah, but there's 10. When you get into that 10% zone.
Yeah, it's a rounding error.
I feel like it's a good deal. I feel like we're coming out swinging. Yeah. So
I'm sorry to those of you that don't find it funny and amusing.
I'll drink.
You know, the funny thing is they watch every minute of it to find out just how stupid we really are.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
So that's it for tonight, folks. Thank you all very much for spending some time here with us, because whether you like it or not, we love it. And we will be here with you every Wednesday until these two decide they can't do Wednesday nights either because it's bingo night or something as they get older.
Sunday morning.
Yeah. So we'll be on Sunday.
I got a bingo game I got to go to.
Church.
Tabitha says we're the bee's knees. Thanks. All you're right. The cat's pajamas in our eyes, Tabitha.
Wow.
All right, kids. Stay happy. Stay cool. Love one another. We'll be back next week with even more of the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader, and these two are my buddies. We miss you, Greg. Hopefully we'll see you again next Wednesday right here on the Paranormal 60 News.
Wednesday night and I'm alone. The Paranormal 60's on. It's just for paranormal freaks like me, with poltergeist and ghosts and blues and UAPs. You miss a word, you do a shot. It starts to snowball and we laugh a lot. It's just like drinking with your TV friends. I'll be passed out before tonight's show ends. Dreaming the aliens are taking me away. I'll go wake up till sometime late on Saturday. It's Wednesday night and I'm alone. The Paranormal 60's on. Schrader's on. Schrader's on. Schrader's on. Shachi and the Colonel and the Paranormal Detective. All these traitors got me and they all will be corrected. He's got protective bracelets and some crazy magic tricks. Even Scully cannot save him from the voice of Stevie Nicks. Schrader's on. Schrader's on. Wednesday night, don't be alone. The Paranormal 60's on. Now one day Dave might even put me on his show. There's a ghost in my mom's basement, man, I live down there, I know. It's Wednesday night, don't be alone. The Paranormal 60's on. Schrader's on. Words is hard.